We are exploring a Marquette University professor's research into the mental health needs of pregnant people fleeing violence in South America and how it informs support systems for refugees and marginalized communities here, closer to home. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be along with us. Marquette University professor Lisa Edwards directs the Culture and Well-Being Research Lab in the Department of Counselor Education and Counseling Psychology. She landed a prestigious Fulbright, taking her to Medellin, Colombia this year to study pregnant and postpartum refugees fleeing neighboring Venezuela. What do you want to know about the effects of war and violence on a pregnancy? Thousands of migrants cross the U.S. border each day. What actions should the U.S. take confronting pregnant or postpartum refugees? What have you learned about environmental trauma and pregnancy? 800-642-1234 to join in. Lisa Edwards, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Good morning. Why is it important to study people going through horrible trauma, horrible environmental stressors in pregnancy and postpartum?
Well, that's a great question. We have a growing body of evidence, and we're learning more every day about the importance of the mental health of mothers when they're pregnant and postpartum during what we call the perinatal period. The effects of stress on moms are really profound. There's research showing us that there are short-term outcomes. For example, moms who are really stressed when their baby's in utero might have low birth weight babies or preterm labor complications during pregnancy. And then we see those outcomes once the baby is born in the form of decreased attachment with mother, which is really a concern for developmental outcomes. Later, when kids are 5, 6, and 7, there's a lack of prosocial behavior, and there may be other cognitive, behavioral, emotional concerns. So we know that that time period is really critical and that we need to minimize the stress that moms are experiencing as much as possible.
So what I'm hearing from you is that the perinatal period is that really sensitive time, weeks before and after birth, and it, you know, these conditions and stressors can really snowball in a baby's life.
Absolutely. What's interesting to think about is that, pregnancy is a very important period, obviously, and a delicate period. And there's even periods within pregnancy that have more and less impact on development. And we're still trying to figure that out. But mental health concerns are very common during pregnancy. In fact, globally, 1 in 5 women will experience mental health concerns when they're pregnant or postpartum, usually in the form of depression and anxiety. So it is, in fact, the most common complication of the pregnancy and postpartum period. Yet if they're untreated and if they are incredible stresses like trauma and conflict and things like that, then they can really develop into concerning issues that have long-term impacts on mom, the baby, and in fact, science is showing us for generations to come because it really affects the way that even genes can be expressed over time. So it really is profound, the potential for both positive development and negative.
Talking with Lisa Edwards, who is director of the Culture and Well-Being Research Lab at Marquette University, who is in Colombia studying how fleeing violence impacts mothers during the perinatal period. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have at the intersection of trauma and pregnancy? What resources helped you get through the early stages? Join in, 800-642-1234. Lisa, let's talk about the people who you will be studying. We're reaching you, obviously, in Colombia. What are the lives like as these people uproot from Venezuela and come in to Colombia?
Great question. And we're about to embark upon our project, but we've actually started developing our protocol. And I'm working with colleagues in nursing and psychology at Universidad CES, which is a university here in Medellin. And but what we know about Venezuelan mothers who are coming, and you know, there have been Venezuelan refugees, or the common term used here is migrants, who have been coming to Colombia over the past 5, 7, 9 years when they've been experiencing what many are calling a humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. Incredible financial instability, lack of access to care, especially health care, crime,
and
different things.
I might add that they live under the authoritarian rule of the government.
Absolutely.
Of Nicolas Maduro.
Absolutely. And that all contributes to that humanitarian crisis. And so, but when we look at pregnant and postpartum mothers and mothers in general who are coming to Colombia, they often have not had the opportunity to have any kind of prenatal care. And so that's a huge part of this equation is they're arriving to Colombia. Fortunately, they receive Colombia is very receptive to these migrants, and so they will receive access to healthcare resources where they can attend to themselves and to their unborn baby and other children that they might have. They can begin to get basic needs met, such as food and nutrition for their babies. And then our project, we're very excited. We're going to be talking to them about their mental health because that's the piece that's often ignored when we talk about the development of the baby. We're always thinking, is baby healthy? Is mom okay? But we're not talking about the emotional and psychological part of this. So that's what we'll be doing while we're here.
So how does the government in Venezuela intersect with their health care, with their pregnancy, and what support systems are in place by the government, or perhaps non-existent programs? Like, what care is coming from the government of Venezuela for these people?
Well, what we're most attuned to here is really how when they arrive here, and
okay.
we find that they have that they maybe haven't even had any prenatal visits, as I mentioned before. Mm. So that's what we're really seeing as moms who haven't been able to ever, hear the baby's heartbeat or get any checkups like we might hear within the U.S. And so that's where we're really seeing some of the concerns, and we want to get them in as soon as possible.
There's so much testing and monitoring in pregnancy, and I would imagine if you haven't had any of those prenatal visits, that too, from a Western medicine standpoint, can be very dangerous.
Absolutely. And then just thinking about something basic like nutrition. Mm. I mean, malnutrition is something that happens in times of crisis and times of war. And the effects of that on the developing fetus can be profound as well. And we've known that for quite some time. So all of this comes together to say that moms who are coming here to Colombia need much support emotionally and physically.
A parallel we might be thinking about as the U.S. accepts up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees and thinking about mm-hmm. war-torn Ukraine pregnant mothers in this time period. What might your research draw from on how the U.S. would prevent further traumatizing for expectant people who are coming from a war-ravaged region?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think our research and really some of the research that we have globally suggests that, first, it's clear moms are incredibly resilient and determined. And we see these images of moms crossing borders, fleeing violence. Their goal to maintain the safety of their baby and to give them opportunities it's truly inspiring. And these moms, we need to make sure that they receive all the physical health care that they need, that they, that we can help them navigate things like legal status and access to resources. Then this other piece that our research is really interested in is that psychological component. If we as a world supported moms, immigrant moms, all moms, we truly could be impacting their mental health for generations to come.
Hmm. Marquette University's Lisa Edwards, professor of counseling psychology, counselor education. Anna Fulbright, we're reaching her in Colombia. She studies the challenges of pregnant people fleeing Venezuela. What resources helped you get through the early days after delivery? Have you worried about pregnancy care and delivering in Ukraine? And as Afghan refugees resettle in Wisconsin, do you have a story to share about supporting a new parent and their baby? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Lisa Edwards here in the Ideas Network. We're looking at resiliency in pregnancy and how pregnant refugees and those who have just had a baby, how exposure to trauma affects this delicate time in life. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're with Marquette University Professor Lisa Edwards, Anna Fulbright, that's taken her to Colombia to study this. Lisa leads the Milwaukee-based program Proyecto Mama, which assesses the resources and mental health needs of Latinx people in the perinatal period. What is on your mind about trauma and pregnant refugees? Are you worried about deportation and family separations that could add additional trauma? Clinicians, how do you provide support to patients who are expecting and going through trauma? Join in 800-642-1234. Marquette's Lisa Edwards with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's turn to your multi-year project, Proyecto Mama, and what you're seeing there with barriers to mental health resources that you found through this program.
Absolutely. So Proyecto Mama, our intention with developing this project was to really get a sense of the landscape in Milwaukee in particular. What were resources that moms could access, and where were there some holes in resources? And through this project, we assembled a task force of various community members and health professionals with both expertise in the topic and a passion for it. And then we did a lot of interviews. We spoke with moms, we spoke with health professionals, counselors, nurses, midwives. And then we also spoke with faith leaders in the community. And we took all this stakeholder information and tried to find some of the common themes. And importantly, it's very critical to realize that we have incredible Latinx serving agencies here in Milwaukee. We are so fortunate. So many that offer bilingual services and that offer culturally responsive services. So this is a really good thing that we found, and many of the moms access these services. But like every city and state within the nation, we can do more. I mean, these agencies are stretched thin, and we are always in need of more bilingual counselors and therapists and folks who can have maybe a little more expertise in the perinatal health, mental health period. So we found that there, more services, affordable services with childcare options and flexible options for support groups and things like that are some of the things that we'd love to see even more of in our city.
And I would imagine, you know, in Milwaukee, that is one city in Wisconsin, the largest city, of course, and perhaps these services are there, but when you look at the rest of Wisconsin, you might not see that same picture.
Absolutely. Yes, I think we can safely say that Milwaukee has the largest amount of services. I mean, there are some in other cities. And of course, with the growing Latinx population, those are growing as well. But Milwaukee has some that have been here for quite some time also.
I'm thinking about these interviews and then the interviews that you will be embarking on with these people coming from Venezuela. And I'm wondering if you're going to see intersections there between what you saw in Milwaukee and heard from stakeholders in Milwaukee versus what is happening in South America.
Yes, that remains to be seen. I have some thoughts about that, and we're really excited to see what these findings will be. I have a feeling, I mean, one of the biggest barriers to service, in addition to the practical things like insurance and the cost of counseling and childcare, but one of the big things that we found was there's so much stigma around getting mental health treatment and support. And I believe that is something that we face globally. Here in the U.S., we're starting to see a lot more attention to the importance of mental health. But when you think about the perinatal period in particular, the narrative is that as a mother, you're supposed to be so joyful and so happy. And how on earth could you be having concerns or anxiety or feeling down or, you know, even worse, having scary thoughts about your baby and fears that you might harm it. These are things that for so long have been absolutely taboo. And we found in our moms, most of whom were of Mexican descent and some Central American descent, that was really prominent for them. And that's true, as I said, in the general population. And I have a feeling that will be very true for some of these Venezuelan moms at all as well. And in addition to the stigma, sometimes we feel as moms that we don't, perhaps we just need to focus on the physical, and the emotional comes later. Hmm. And maybe we don't even have the privilege to give that the attention. And so I would venture we might see some of that as these Venezuelan migrant mothers are really just seeking safety and getting the basic needs that they want and deserve.
Thinking about postpartum depression and how it is stigmatized here in the U.S. for well-resourced people who have had a baby. And I would imagine that you see that too in all aspects of the people you interview, that stigma perhaps is there as well with postpartum depression.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, here in the U.S., we have some important public health campaigns around that, but it's absolutely stigmatized. And, you know, there's some interesting layers. Cultural context is everything. When we would interview moms in Milwaukee, particularly those who don't have citizenship, who are undocumented, you know, there is not only this fear of perhaps saying that you're not feeling well and your child could be removed by CPS if they deem you unfit. And you know, that has happened to moms of all backgrounds. But then there's this extra fear of talking about your mental health concerns and then potentially being detained or deported. And so these are all legitimate reasons why moms might not come forward and talk about their concerns and seek help. And these are barriers we really need to address.
Talking with Lisa Edwards of Marquette University, Professor Leeds Proyecto Mama, reaching her in Colombia on a Fulbright. Lisa, I'm wondering how these surveys that you've done, these many interviews you've done, how it's informing how you go about teaching counseling psychology to students.
Oh, that's a great question. I think, you know, everything we do as researchers informs our teaching and vice versa. Mm. To me, I focus a lot on multicultural counseling and Latinx psychology. And so all of this is really just enriching it and reminding me so often of the importance of context. And we try to make some sort of generalizations in our field. And at the same time, we have to balance that with understanding the individual and the unique circumstances and things like intersectionality. People are not just women. They're not just Venezuelans. They're not just migrants. It's all together at once. So I think that really just continuously helps me to remember that.
Looking at some other takeaways, Badger Care Plus, the state and federal Medicaid program providing health coverage for low-income Wisconsin residents. Right now, it only lasts for the first month after, you know, after birth. How could extending Badger Care lessen the burden for people who have delivered a baby?
Yes. Just to clarify, the Badger Care Plus prenatal plan is something that people without documentation here in the U.S. are eligible for. And so it does end at the month after when pregnancy ends. And this happens in other states as well, but there is definitely a huge move to or desire to be able to extend that, because after mom has her baby, it could take a few weeks before the mental health concerns come up. And if this mom doesn't have access to any kinds of services because of insurance, then she's absolutely stuck without that support that we know is so critical.
As we start to wrap up here, what is your advice to clinicians who are seeing patients who are experiencing trauma that they might have never gone through themselves, or they might not even know how horrible it really is?
Well, there's a lot I would suggest. I think it's important for all of us. I'm a psychologist as well, to be informed regarding perinatal mental health. Not everyone is going to go for the deep dive and the advanced training, but it's important to be aware of the issues. First and foremost, and this really is popular in our field, is understanding culturally responsive treatment and understanding who it is that we're working with and trying to understand our own biases and privileges and cultural context in order to be as culturally responsive as possible. So I think clinicians really need to be attuned to that and also get a sense for those who are in Milwaukee in particular and Wisconsin and you know, to get a sense of what the, where the networks are, because there is some amazing work being done in a lot of different areas here.
Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lisa Edwards directs the Culture and Wellbeing Research Lab at Marquette University. Leads Proyecto Mama reached her in Colombia on a Fulbright studying pregnant people fleeing violence. Find a link to Proyecto Mama at WPR.org/mornings. Ahead this hour, we have the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.